Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and we're still studying the book of Genesis. We're down to chapter 24 this morning. This amazing, long chapter. Just think of this. This chapter has 67 verses in it. I'm just thinking, amazing thing, isn't it? Here is a chapter with 67 verses given to a boy getting a bride. Man getting a bride because he's 40 years of age when he married Rebecca. You go back to chapter 10 of Genesis, where God scattered the nations, all the nations in the earth, and he just gives a few verses to it. Brief chapter. You see, friend, the individual means more to God than nations. What I mean by that, God is personally interested in each one of us. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter who we are. God is vitally interested in each individual. And God gives to us here a tremendously long chapter on a bride for Isaac. Why? Because there are spiritual lessons there for you and for me, and also because in God's heart, it gives to us a revelation of his son and his bride. So when you read the 24th chapter, read it slowly, enjoy it, and may the Spirit of God make it very precious to you and precious to me. Now chapter 24 is a bride for Isaac. You'll notice in the preceding chapter, 23, we had the death of Sarah. Sarah is 127 years of age. That would make Isaac 37. That would make Abraham 137 when Sarah died. When you come down to chapter 24, Abraham is old. He's 140 years of age. And the Lord had blessed Abram in all things. And Abram said to his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray you, your hand on my thigh. I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. Now remember, here is his son, 40 years of age, not married. Sarah's gone, and you find where Abram is desirous that his son should be married. And as you go into it in these first 9 verses, his great desire that he be married, but he must not go and be married among the Canaanites. Verse 4, you'll go to my country, you go to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said to Abraham, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring your son again unto the land from whence you came? And Abraham said unto him, beware that you do not bring my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before you. You shall take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then you shall be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. You notice the fact is that this man Abraham had so walked with God. He was the friend of God. God had visited Abraham. Even when Abraham failed God, even his failures did not affect his relationship with God. Broke his fellowship, 'tis true. But God was so hungry for Abraham's fellowship. You remember, again I come back to Isaiah 41:8. Israel my servant, but Abraham my friend. And this has so affected Abraham's life. He's still a pilgrim, he's still a stranger. I don't want my boy to be married to these Canaanites among whom we dwell. And I don't want you to go back to Ur of the Chaldees from where we came. That's full of idolatry too. God took him out of there. You remember the God of glory appeared unto Abraham when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. And the God of glory had said, get out. God found a man who was sick of the idolatry and the corruption around him. God called him. God called him to be his friend. Now said Abram, I want my boy to be married, but I don't want you to go back to Ur of the Chaldees. Don't bring my boy back there again, and I don't want him to be married to these Canaanite women who are idolaters, full of corruption. I want you to go back to my kindred at Haran. Get a wife for my boy. And what if she won't come? Then you'll be free from your oath. Only don't you go on back to Ur of the Chaldees. Now starting in at verse 10 and running right through verse 60, you have the servant meeting Rebecca and what goes on. But now before we go into that, I would say this. Notice his confidence in verse 7. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, he shall send his angel before you. You shall take a wife unto my son from thence. The confidence that God would go ahead of the servant. Well, you mark something else. There's no name given to the servant. As you see, it must have been Eliezer, spoken of in chapter 15. I have no children, just as Eliezer. No name is mentioned. Now, I said at the very beginning that here we have a wonderful picture of God having a bride for his son Isaac, for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God today is in the world, gathering out a people to be the bride of Christ. No name mentioned. He's called the Paraclete, the Parakletos, the one who's called to the side. He's called the Comforter. He's called the Holy Spirit. In fact, in chapter 16 of John, he will not speak of himself. He will take the things of mine and show them unto you. He will show you things to come. Now let's follow the servant for a few moments. You take verses 10 to 14. So the servant took 10 camels, and he departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the women went out to draw water. Now mark his prayer. He said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray you, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down your pitcher, I pray you, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give your camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for your servant is Isaac. Thereby shall I know that you have showed kindness unto my master. I notice what he did. He said, Lord, I want to show kindness to my master Abraham. And I'm going to do this. When I ask one of the maidens for a drink, and she shall say, drink, and I'll give you a camels to drink too, let that be the one who shall be for my master. So, it came to pass before he had done speaking, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother. She came with her pitcher upon her shoulder. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. She went down into the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray you, drink a little water of your pitcher." She said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have done drinking." And she hastened, emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to see whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass that as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a gold earring of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray you. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge in?" She said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which he bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough, room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Just one or two things here. Notice, he put a test before the Lord. He said, "Show kindness to my master Abraham. If I say to the girl, 'Give me a drink,' she gives me a drink, and then adds, 'I will also water your camels,' let that be the girl." Long came Rebecca, and exactly that was what took place. And the man was wondering. Notice this. The man wondering, he held his peace, to wit, to see if God had made his journey prosperous or not. And when he found out that she was Abraham's niece, he bowed down his head, worshipped the Lord. He'd come to the right place, he had met the right family and the right girl. And he bowed his head and he worshipped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my father, my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and of his truth." Of course, you never will. You never will. God is rich in mercy. God is great in love. Don't you remember that? In Ephesians chapter 2, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were children of wrath like the rest. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us when we were dead in sins, he loved us enough to die for us, to shower his mercy upon us. And here this man worshipped the Lord. My Christian friend, let me just say a word to you. How often do you worship the Lord? I don't mean, do you go to church on Sunday morning? I'm not asking that. How often do you really worship the Lord? This man worshipped the Lord because God had led him. In fact, he says, "I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Behind the whole thing, you have God moving. You have Abraham yearning to have the right girl for his boy Isaac, the one through whom Messiah should come, the blessing should come, the promise made real. But the servant too, led by God. "Oh, I being in the way, the Lord led me." I'm not surprised at the worship of this man. My friends, again, I ask you the question. How often do you worship the Lord? How often do you get alone and just worship the Lord, just because you love him? And then to add to that, when you see God answering your prayers, like this man, his prayer was answered. He worshipped. When you have your prayers answered, do you worship? Or are you so thrilled with the fact that God answered your prayer, you tell everybody about it and don't take the time to get alone with God and worship? You know, this little statement here, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." Are you in the place where the Lord can lead you? I being in the way the Lord led me. This man was completely yielded to the God of Abraham. Completely yielded to his master Abraham. As I've been saying all the way through, you couldn't live with Abraham and not know Abraham's God. When Abraham said, I want you to go and get a bride for my son. Don't you go back to Ur of the Chaldees, Mongols, idolaters, and don't you get a girl from these Canaanites. Go to my brethren. What if the girl won't come? You go. The angel of the Lord's going to go ahead of you. God's going to be with you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. So you find here, I being in the way the Lord led me. He was in fellowship with Abram's God, and God led him. My friend, I tell you, when it comes to the question of being led of the Lord, you've got to be in the way. And when you and I just get down before God and say, Lord, I want your will. I want your purpose. Just like Abraham. His confidence that God would send his angel ahead and prepare the way. And the servant being in the way, God led him. Are you in the place where God can lead you? Or do you want your own way? See, too many of us want our own way. We talk about loving the Savior. We talk about being his children. We can revel in the truth of God. But is he leading our lives? Or are we wanting our own way? As I said a while ago, one of the lessons, many claim to be the servants of God, but they want their own way. A real servant obeys the word of his master. And this man, this nameless servant of Abraham, completely yielded to Abraham. And to anything you say, and being in the way the Lord led him. Is your life in that position where the Lord can lead you? I say this very frankly, one of the greatest needs today are for people to be in the way. In the way God wants them to be. To walk in the Word of God. To be in simple obedience. And God lead you where he wants you to be. But I want to be somebody. That's your trouble. You see, God doesn't care whether you're great or whether you're large or whether you're big or whether you're successful according to the eyes of men or whether you're wealthy or whether you're poor. God just wants you. He just wants you. Doesn't want your wealth. Doesn't want your time. He just wants you. Like Paul could say in Romans 1, Paul, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And you look at Paul's life, he was in the way, and the Lord led him. In the 13th chapter of Acts, the Spirit of God said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. And being let go, the Spirit of God guided them. Paul wanted to go north. He wanted to go east. God said, no. A man said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And immediately we knew it was the mind of God and the will of God for their lives. And he went straightway, immediately, to Macedonia. He said, my, I wish I could be led like that. I wish I was so confident of the will of God for my life like that. But my friend, you've got to be in the way. You've got to walk in obedience to his precious word. He's not going to send an angel. He's not going to give some bright lights. There'll come that peace, that confidence in your heart. This is what God wants me to do. This is what God wants me to do. And I'll tell you, my friend, there is no place comparable to that life lived in fellowship with the Savior. You see, my heart is burdened about this. It's not sufficient for us to have the knowledge of truth, but that truth must be a living reality in our lives. God doesn't ask me to conduct my life according to my present society. God wants me to conduct my life according to the word of God in fellowship with Him. That's the important thing. You say, why, Mr. Mitchell, you'll be an oddball if you do that. No, you won't. No, you won't. Your life will be a benediction to others. Your life will be a blessing to many people. It's a strange thing, isn't it, that when a man or a woman begins to walk with God, it's true they're not living according to the man of the world. But I'll tell you one thing. When people are in need, you know where they go? They go to the man who walks with God. He'll come to you as you seek to walk with Him. I, being in the way the Lord led me, oh God, grant that today you and I will just walk with God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just to be a channel, usable in the hands of the Spirit of God, to bring blessing to some heart, to some life today. May God grant this for you today and for me. May we examine our hearts in the light of His presence. Confess our failures if they're there. Name them. He's promised to forgive you and to cleanse you and to go on and live for the glory of the Savior. I repeat it, there is no life comparable to that life lived in the will of God. May that be your portion today, and may it be my portion today. Now the Lord bless you for His precious name's sake.